evening, ladies and gentlemen, all around the world. You're listening once again to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Tonight I want to do something a little different. And I don't want to talk. Listen to me very carefully. I do not want to talk. I don't want to hear about, don't want to talk about, don't want to discuss anything in the news, anything bad, anything going on in the world, anything about Gary Condit or politicians, none of that. Let's have a night where we just talk about good things. Now, I have a feeling that's going to be a big challenge for a lot of you, because I've got a gut feeling that most of you never talk about anything at all except what's bad in this world. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to talk just about good things. And I challenge you to come up with good things to talk about tonight on the phone. Because I'm going to open the phones, and I want you to call and talk about good things. What's happened to you lately that's good? What's happening in your community that's really good? What makes you feel good? If you're home all alone and everybody else is gone, what do you do that really relaxes you, makes you feel good, you know, gives you that sense of well-being that we all need from time to time, that we'd love to have all the time, but it's kind of hard to do that? What's going on in your life that's good? And if there's nothing good in your life, if you can't call on that phone and talk about good things tonight, I think you better examine your life, because there's got to be something really, really wrong with it if you can't do that. And I don't care what it is, but, you know, please don't make something up, and don't call in with the standard stuff, you know, that you know everybody's going to say. And I'm not trying to tell you what to say or what not to say. What I'm trying to do is set some parameters here. I want you to tell the truth. What's really going on in your life that's really good? I want you to talk about it. Tell us about it. I want to hear about it. And I think everybody else out there might want to do that too. So much of our lives are taken up with things that just absolutely are so upsetting. But every once in a while, I think we need to do something like this, and I don't think we've done enough of it in the past. What makes you really feel good right now? In your community, in your home, in your family, in your neighborhood, with your friends. Did you do something recently that just was out of sight? I mean, just put you right over the edge into ecstasy. How many of you have a job that you absolutely love? Hello? That might be a little difficult for some of you to come up with, huh? So you think about what you're going to call and talk about, and I'll be back right after this little preparatory thing that might get you started. Maybe. I hope.
Get on the edge tonight.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, this is Jennifer. Nice to talk with you this evening.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, and I have good things to say.
Good, let's hear them.
Oh, a year ago, I decided to cut myself free of ties from the government and the IRS, and I'm doing quite well. I live out in the country now. I've started my own garden. I record videotapes and pass them out to people. Been blessed by the Lord by all of it. Garden grew this year despite the grasshoppers.
Ah, you got that problem too. Well, let's not talk about the problems.
No. Well, I use chili powder on my grasshoppers, and it does quite well.
Well, that's great. That's a good tip for people.
Yeah. And what else? I don't know. A good thing is I listen to your show all the time.
Wonderful.
And it's a blessing that you're in this world, sir.
Pardon?
There's very few people out there like you, and we're lucky to have
you. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. It meant from the heart. So, that's a little bit of good news. Okay. But I just totally... with all my strength and knowledge that I have of what's going on, I decided to change my life. And hey, if a lot more people decided I could do it and looked within themselves at their own personal skills.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
And I wish more people would do that because they're not as helpless as they think. They have great strength down inside. They just have to find it.
Yes. And there's a lot of good people out there that help one another too.
Yes, there are.
Made a lot of neighbors that live far away, but I'm here in Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
And a lot to say for the people down here. But opportunity is where you look for it.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I'm nervous. I don't know what else to say.
Do you know... well, never mind. I was going to...
What's that?
I was going to ask you if you knew somebody that I'm... You probably don't.
It's a possibility.
Well, we won't get into it because it might bring up some...
I know George Gordon.
Oh, I know George Gordon. I met him years ago.
Yeah, down here in Isabella.
Does he live near you?
In Isabella.
Oh. Well, yeah. Is that near you, though?
Has a law school.
Uh-huh. Yes, he does.
Yeah, I've spoken with him and his wife. They're beautiful people.
Yes, they are.
And Joyce Riley and Davon Clark.
Don't know the last name. I know who Joyce Riley is. I've never met her.
That's her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's a wonderful person. He works with for veterans of the Gulf War and exposes a lot of stuff that the government and the military don't really want to hear about.
Let's not get into all that stuff tonight.
They're doing good. They're doing wonderful things, just like you do. And you should feel good about what you do, too.
Well, I do most of the time. Sometimes it's a big burden, and I just wish it would go away. But we're not going to get into those things. We're going to stay on a good note tonight.
Okay.
I want to thank you for calling.
Well, thank you.
And thanks for having the courage to be our first caller.
Oh, well, that's all right.
That's a little hurdle that people have trouble getting over sometimes.
I don't know why. We're all one and the same.
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Good night.
Good night. 520-333-4578 is the number. We're going to take your calls tonight, and we're just going to talk about good things. And listen to me very carefully. If you can't pick up your phone and call this broadcast and talk about something really good in your life, something that you're proud of, makes you happy, and this just thrills you all over, maybe it's your, you know, what leads you to your own personal ecstasy in life. You know, we all have something that we just absolutely love to do. Our watch being done, whatever it is for you. But if you haven't got anything, you need to really sit down and examine your life because something is seriously wrong and you're probably very, very unhappy. And tell you the truth, I don't want you to be unhappy. I don't want anybody to be unhappy. I wish the whole world could be happy. I know that's an impossibility. And certainly can't be sustained, you know, at long periods of time. But we can certainly work at it, can't we? 520-333-4578 is the number. What makes you happy? What's happening in your community that's really good? What did you do recently that's really good? How about your family? You know, what's going on with you? What do you like to do when you're all alone and nobody else is around that makes you happy? You know, some people need to be alone sometimes, and just being alone sometimes makes some people happy because they feel a lot of pressure from others occasionally. Well, the phone's not ringing, so I have to assume from that the people in this listening audience are a pretty, except for Jennifer and me, pretty miserable lot. You guys must be out there just suffering terribly. If you can't pick up the phone and tell me something that's good in your community, in your life, in your family, something that really makes you happy or has made you happy recently in the recent past or is going on right now, whatever it might be. And now this is telling. Whenever this happens, I know I'm hitting on something. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper, this is Jennifer again.
Yeah.
And I called on your other number that begins with 43. So it's a possibility your phone lines are backwards because the other number, 4578,
is
all the time.
Okay. That's okay. What it is then. Okay, folks. Call 520-333-4543. Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Uh-huh.
And that's probably what, in fact, I know that's what it is because I was a guest on the Alan Handelman East Coast Live broadcast last night for about 2 hours all over the country. I switched the phone lines and forgot to switch them back. So call 520-333-4543. That's 520-333-4543. One more time. 520-333-4543. The phones are open. Sorry about that, folks. I can't switch them back right now without cutting off WBCQ, so we won't do that. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
Bill, I was going to tell you, one thing that really makes me happy and I like in my life,
uh-huh.
I like to watch pro wrestling while it's muted and listen to you. It really does. I mean, it's just a real good thing for me. I enjoy you, and I heard you on Alan Handelman last night. I'm calling from Gastonia, North Carolina, and I really enjoyed your show.
You really made me laugh with that one. You turn on pro wrestling, and you mute the sound and listen to the Hour of the Time at the same time.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, I can see I can see something to that. That's the last thing in the world I would have ever thought of, but that's how'd you like the broadcast last night?
Oh, it was fantastic. You brought up a lot of good points, and I want you to know I've read your book. I know you won't stay away from the conspiracies and the other things and talk about good things tonight, so
yeah.
I thought I'd just tell you I enjoy a lot of good things around. There's a lot of good things if you look for them. A nice summer day is relaxing, and if you can get things, you know, off your mind, and you know, just a good conversation now and then is good.
Oh, yes. That's one of my favorite things. Sitting with my good friends in a nice atmosphere. Campfire is the best for me. I love a campfire with my good friends just talk, you know, just talk and tell stories and listen to stories and you know, be comfortable with each other and sometimes get in some real good arguments about things that some, you know, maybe we disagree upon, but they're friendly arguments. They're not antagonistic, and that's fun, and it's enjoyable, and it challenges your intellect.
A different opinion can bring out the best in you at times.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Well, Bill, I won't take up no more of your time. I just want you to say keep on fighting a good fight, and we enjoy your show, and I'll get off here and let somebody else talk some good stuff.
Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Bill.
520-333-4543 is the number to call tonight. 520-333-4543 is the number to call tonight. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Well, I just have a story to relate to you about a good deed.
Uh-huh.
My wife's hairdresser, who was on her way to Branson here a week ago.
Missouri,
right. And she was driving down a road with her mother and her young son. Noticed a car upside down on the side of the road in a ditch.
Oh, no.
As she went by, she noticed gray hair. And so she stopped and went over there and found a woman who was 65 years old, hanging upside down in her car with her leg broken and a bone sticking out of it. She proceeded to kick in the back window, tear out the back seat, and unstrap this woman from the car. In the meantime, she'd called 911 on her cell phone. Being in where she was, she couldn't get anybody, so they put her on roam. It was an hour and a half before anybody got there, but she did get the woman out. The woman is healthy and well, and the good deed was done.
Well, God bless her. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank her. 520-333-4543. That's something very good. She helped an elderly woman who had been in a car accident. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill Cooper.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll tell you what makes me happy. I've been working in astronomy and the sciences for many years, and I just recently went to school back to college.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we had this algebra teacher, and he was, like, just drilling us every day, like a, you know, like being in a service, like a Marine or something would drill you.
Like boot camp, huh?
And we're working on, like, inequalities and things like that. And, you know, for years I've been into the astronomy and this and that. And what really gets me off is now it's all coming together. I just got this book entitled The Big Bang, and I forget who the author is, but by golly, I look in that book and there's the inequalities. And there's this equation. It's called the Saha equation.
Uh-huh.
And it's x squared divided by 1 minus x, which basically after... during the beginning of the Big Bang, we had 300,000 years. We can't even detect that 300,000 years before that. That was the heating of the ionization, you see what I'm saying? And that ionization cooled down. And what really got me off was that I could figure this out without a calculator. We use TI-83s, okay?
Uh-huh.
But I figured this out without a calculator thanks to this cat in there that was drilling me every day. And sure enough, I verified the whole thing on the calculator, and there it is, you know. But that gets me off.
There what is?
Pardon me?
There what is? You said you verified on the calculator, and there it is. There what is?
You get a graph, okay? We're working in algebra. We're working with graphs, okay?
Uh-huh.
And when you get an equation like that, like an inequality, okay, you get a graph, and it's like a... picture a line that starts from point zero and rises up and then drops quickly, okay?
Okay.
And then you have a reflection of that on the other side of the graph if you're familiar with quadrants or anything like that.
Yeah.
XY coordinates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So in the middle of that, you get what you call a vertical asymptote, okay? And I could go on and on and on, but that represents...
But what you're saying is you're finally being able to understand it, what you've been studying for all these years, and it's all coming together for you. That is a great accomplishment for you.
Exactly.
Okay, I understand that.
That's the point of my...
That's the way I felt when after about 16 years of trying to crack the symbology and the esoteric language of the mystery schools, I finally did it. And I tell you what, I could have jumped up and flown to the moon without a rocket ship. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, sure, and I don't even want to go into the symbology because I'm there myself, but you want to keep it positive tonight, right?
That's right.
So we won't even talk about that because I could go on about that for hours. But
there's nothing negative.
And being able to do it without that TI-83, that's the kicker right there.
Yeah, sure. Okay, thank you.
You got it, Bill.
Great. 520-333-4543 is the number. Now, you know, don't misunderstand him, folks. What he was saying is that what makes him happy was the fact that he's finally understanding how it all comes together, what he's been taught and what he's been studying, and he can do the math and see it, and where before maybe he couldn't do that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Great premise for the show. Reminds me of something I learned in politics class from Mr. Plato. and it always has hung with me. Amongst other things that he said that the, I'm paraphrasing, but he said the worst thing in terms of politics is for those with nothing good in their life to enter the fray. And I think there's a good measure of truth to that.
Yeah, I would have to tend to agree with you.
Yeah. I just went down to the shore of Long Island. The weather on the East Coast here has been absolutely fantastic. Running fairly cool, hasn't been too awfully hot.
Uh-huh.
Back-on-back, beautiful days. But I wanted to, you know, you'd ask what people do when they're alone to make themselves happy and relaxed, et cetera.
Yeah, because a lot of people, you know, can't do that. It's hard for some people.
Yeah, well, I've found a good helpmate, or actually I've recently revisited something I learned a bit when I was young. Back when I was about 24, I went to a yoga class in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and it was pretty interesting. It was being taught by a guy who was actually a former trainer for the Oakland Raiders football team, which seemed kind of strange. It's rather...
Not nowadays, it's not strange, believe me.
Yeah.
It's not strange to walk in the locker room, see everybody sitting around in the lotus position meditating.
Yeah, it's true. It's in the air, which might be why I got back into it. About 7 months ago, I got back into it on a daily basis. And I don't know if you really want me to advertise the particular school.
No, I prefer that you don't.
Yeah.
if they want to advertise, they can contact me.
Yeah. So, you know, a book's out there. Very simple series of hatha yoga postures, and it's a great thing. And one of the things I love about it is that anybody, as long as you have enough floor space to fan out like you're making a snow angel,
uh-huh.
and you can stand in the middle of the floor and reach up with your hands over your head, prayer fashion, straight up and not touch the ceiling, and about all you need is a flat level floor, a towel, and your own determination.
What does it do for you?
Well, you know, one of the things I like about this particular school is the fellow, you know, he calls his book A Beginning Class.
Yeah,
and he really plays down.
But what I'm trying to get at is not what he does. What does it do for you? I mean, how do you feel when you're practicing these yoga exercises? I mean, what does it do for you personally that you like so much?
Well, what it does is... When you do these strenuous postures and extend your range of motion far, far beyond what, you know, a normal person does during the course of the day in a comprehensive fashion and really put the isometric tension, so to speak, way up high and then relax, you get out a lot of pent-up tension
uh-huh.
such that by the time that you're finished, you're able to be very relaxed, but you're also invigorated,
mm-hmm.
and it's excellent for your posture, and steadily your posture becomes more and more normal, such that walking up a flight of stairs, you feel, you know, you feel like you have a regal bearing naturally, without holding yourself up into a phony posture. You feel upright, invigorated, yet relaxed, limbs swinging when you walk. And the very act of walking up a flight of stairs, sitting down in a chair, feels good. You feel in touch with how you normally should feel in a good posture.
Well, if most people are running around not feeling this and not doing this, I wouldn't say that it was normal. Maybe it's what we should all feel, but most people don't feel that way and don't walk that way and don't sit that way, I don't think.
So. Yeah, I understand, and, you know, I don't really focus that much on, you know, I mean, a lot of people get carried away with, you know, what I'll just simply call metaphysical aspects of yoga. I don't know about all that. What I do know is that...
I was going to say I agree with you 100% on that, yeah. I hate that when people start preaching. It's they get religious, and then they start preaching their religion to you. And I don't enjoy hearing that from them any more than I do hearing it from anybody else.
Yeah. The teacher who wrote that book, I believe, is a very wise man in that he seeds the book with the potential, if one were to continue the practice, that they may, you know, come to certain realizations where they will make the way that they eat better, that they will tend to want to drop some of what might otherwise be called vices, that they will tend to, because they are relaxed and not frustrated, they will behave better, have more patience with people.
Okay.
And, but he doesn't, you know, go overboard with that. And yeah. But from my limited experience, I think the gentleman's right.
Okay, thanks for calling.
You're welcome, Bill.
520-333-4543 is the number for tonight, just for tonight, because I switched the phone lines last night in order to be able to be a guest on the Alan Handelman Show, and the only phone I could do that with was 4543, so I switched the things. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello there. I'd like to tell you what I like the best.
Okay.
I like being with my two cats at nighttime. I'm thinking about nothing but taking care of them and just relaxing and putting up with them.
Are these tigers, lions,
no.
Siamese? What?
I got a regular cat from around here. I bought them. I drove about 10 miles down to my city here and bought the cat. This was about 91.
Uh-huh.
And then I had that cat, like I said, for about 6-7 years. And then I went to the hospital for a while. I had a terrible attack. And right before that, about a couple weeks before that, this other cat came to my front yard. It was a tailless. It's called a Manx. There's no tail on it. And it was wandering around in front of my house. And I kept telling my parents, as soon as I seen it, I said, oh, can I have it? Can I have it? My mom used to say, you have one cat. Come on, get rid of that. Get rid of that. And I tried, but the cat always stayed around. So after about 2 weeks, my mom said, all right, you can have that. But just, that's it. Just one more. Don't get any more.
How old are you?
I'm 34.
34?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then, what now?
And that's what makes you feel good being with your two cats.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is strange. The first cat I got, her name is Jitters. My mom thought of that name.
Uh-huh.
The second cat, I named Bobby. And the funny thing is, Bobby with no tail, she's right here with me now.
Uh-huh.
She always stays around me, always. The other cat, when it gets nighttime, my mom goes upstairs to watch the TV by herself. The other cat goes up with her and stays with her. And when I come in there to pet her or talk to my mom and bother her, that cat actually scratches me or, you know, it tries to. It'll go, rah! And I say, okay, I'll leave. And I get downstairs and hang out with my other cat.
Well, okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
520-333-4543 is the number. Many people have pets that they love, and when they lose them, sometimes it's a terrible thing to see. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Cooper. How are you?
Good.
I want to say hoo-wah. And the reason I'm saying that is because your show last week on prepaid legal.
Uh-huh.
2 days, I signed up 11 people, and all I can say is hoo-wah.
Wonderful.
And I want to thank you for the information.
You're welcome.
This is Ron from Pennsylvania. I tried visiting you when I was in Phoenix, and he said it wasn't a good idea.
No, it's not, because I don't know who you are.
I understand, sir, but I just want to say hoo-wah for the information on prepaid legal, Bart Chow.
Great.
So anybody else out there that's listening, you want to hook up with prepaid legal, and all I can say is hoo-wah, 11 people in 2 days.
That's great. That's wonderful. Congratulations, my friend.
Hey, God bless you, and thanks for the information, sir.
Thank you.
Bye.
520-333-4543. There, now, there's a person who decided to do what Bart does. He not only signed up for prepaid legal, but now he's an associate, and he's already signed up 11 people. That's wonderful. You know, it would be nice if we could just, if everybody who doesn't have much money could get on prepaid legal, we could get rid of most of the suffering and misery in this country that's caused by attorneys. USS Oriskany?
Yes.
I want to talk about what makes you feel good.
Yes. You were on it, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
Well, there's a new museum for the Oriskany about 50 miles from me.
Where are you at?
I'm in Syracuse, New York.
Okay.
It's just outside of Utica, about 50 miles away. A little northeast of Utica.
Yeah, for those of you listening who don't know what we're talking about, I was the senior petty officer in charge of the bridge and the navigation department, did most of the navigation on the USS Oriskany CVA-34, which was an attack aircraft carrier for almost 3 years, I guess. When were you aboard?
I wasn't on board, but I had a relative there.
Oh, I see.
And his neighbor was on board.
Uh-huh.
And ever since he was off board, he started to create a museum for the Oriskany.
Well, that's great.
He got a little storefront business there.
Uh-huh.
And started collecting details of it, and he'd collect empty bottles and papers and everything else to finance it.
Wow.
And we had occasion to go over there every 2 or 3 weeks. I tried to give him money. He didn't want money. He said, just bring your empties or anything else you could sell, you know?
Uh-huh.
So we would stop in every week or two or see him. He finally got the town or the county to give him a piece of land, a pie-shaped land about 200 feet long and 100 feet at the rim of the pie, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And he managed to get the anchor.
Oh, he got one of the anchors?
From the Oriskany, yes.
Wow.
They had to cut it and ship it to him, then put it together again.
Yeah.
So then he also got the wheel, the pilot house wheel.
Oh, boy. Well, it's got my fingerprints all over it.
And
I'll tell you that.
you might recognize it, about 32, 34, 36 inches in diameter.
Oh, yeah. I would recognize it instantly, yes.
Spun brass, riveted hub, 1-inch, 7/8, maybe diameter shaft,
yeah.
And about a 1-inch diameter rolled brass tube around it.
That's right. That's.
And he also had the pilot's chair.
You mean the captain's chair?
The captain's chair.
The only chair on the bridge is for the captain, and nobody else sits in it. If they do, that's a big offense in the Navy.
That's right. It had a few little nicks and bruises and tears in it, which he patched up. And he was also able to get one of those little jet fighters that flew off it. I'm surprised how small that was.
You're kidding. He got a fighter plane?
It's sitting right out there in his museum.
What is it, an F-4?
I'm not familiar with them, but...
Well, over the years, there were many different types of naval aircraft flew off the decks of the Oriskany. It was, it took part in a lot of wars, I got to tell you.
Yeah, it's a speedy little thing, but I'm surprised it was smaller than I expected. In any event, he finally collected enough money and got somebody to give him a few bucks. And he went from the storefront to a 30, maybe by 50, nice little brick building.
Well, that's wonderful.
And he has all this paraphernalia. I'm not sure. He might even have the bell. But then the Navy gave him an 8-foot model of the Oriskany.
Uh-huh.
Which he has set up in a glass case.
Wow. That probably came from the Pentagon, I would imagine.
And it's practically a one-man thing that he did.
Well, that's wonderful. What did he do on the Oriskany?
Now, I can't really remember.
Do you remember what his job was? Was he a...
No, I visited and talked to him several times, and of course you get into a lot of stories, and you can't keep track of all the details.
Well, why don't you send me his address and phone number, and I'll get in contact with him.
Well, you're too late for that.
Why?
He's not with us.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
But at least he got his museum built.
Well, that's...
He spent a lot of time and effort on it.
Well, that's great.
If I ever get over there again, I'll take a few pictures and send them to you.
Okay, and send me the address and the phone number, too.
Very good.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
You bet.
520-333-4543 is the number. I brought back some memories. You know, sometimes when we were practicing critical maneuvers in tight waters or tight channels, like going through the Gulf of Leyte or some of the straits that we had to go through, I would have to take the wheel as the senior petty officer. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
This is Bill from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, I like listening to you every night. I fool around with shortwave a lot, and signals and whatnot, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I look forward to you on every night. I know I shouldn't because, well, we don't want to get off on that tangent, but my boy listens to you, too. He has his own radio in his room, and he he builds model cars while he listens to you, and, you know, he changes motors and things, and I think that's kind of neat, you know?
Yeah, it is.
But
I like model airplanes myself.
No, do you really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's into the Dukes of Hazzard, General Lee type thing, you know?
Yeah, I like to fly radio-controlled model airplanes, and mm-hmm. be surprised what you can do with them.
Yeah, I bet. But
and rockets too. I also fly rockets.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's about all I had to say.
Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for calling.
Uh huh. Bye bye.
520-333-4543. What makes you happy? What's happening in your community that's really something good? What have you done lately that has made people happy? Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, how you doing? Yeah, I've been getting into shortwave radio recently, and you know, it's great to listen to your broadcasts and stuff. And also people like Tex Mars and, Clayton Douglas from Free American and Rick Wiles from American Freedom News and stuff. But there's so much variety of material on shortwave. Of course, you got to filter it out and stuff because, you know, obviously being that governments control the airwaves,
well,
and what they're sending out.
Let's stay with the good stuff.
Sure. But that's about it, you know. I've been listening for a while and stuff. I got a new radio and stuff, and I got a Sony antenna, an active antenna and stuff, and, you know, it works pretty good. You know, I get some good stations, you know.
Great.
Like last week I picked up, believe it or not, Radio Rock.
Yeah.
In English, you know. It's kind of a faint signal, but, you know.
Yeah.
The DXing is the fun part about it, you know, just picking up obscure stations and stuff, you know, pirate stations and stuff like that, you know.
Almost every country has a station that broadcasts in English.
Sure.
On shortwave.
Exactly.
And it's extremely interesting, a lot of fun to what we call DXing.
Right.
Is going through the bands and trying to pick up faraway stations and listen to what they've got to say. It's a lot of fun. I used to spend a lot of time doing that, my daughter and I and Sugar Bear. That was before Allison was born. We'd go out in the backyard at night, and Pooh and I would DX for a couple of hours and maybe 3 hours and had a lot of fun. Sometimes Annie would come and join us.
Yeah, I've been a wreck recently because I've been staying up so late listening to stations. You know, it's almost like a 24/7 thing, you know.
Well, you got to be careful.
You can pick up 7 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you know.
You can't let it take over your life. Like some people, the first time they get on the internet, they're finding that the whole world has just opened up to them, and there's so much information that they never dreamed that they could get their hands on. They walk around like zombies for a week because they're just amazed, and they can't get away from their computer. And they're just having the time of their life, but they've got to stop sooner or later because, you know, it takes over.
Sure. Well, you know, what's a drag is that, the BBC just, like, cut back on some of their services. Like, they're not broadcasting in North America or Australia anymore, the Pacific. And also Swiss Radio International, they're going to be cutting back on their shortwave broadcast to North America in October 2001. And then they're going to be switching over to the Internet. And they're going to stop all their broadcasts in 2004, you know. So I guess, you know, it's becoming like a monetary thing also with some of these governments in terms of, like, keeping it on the air, you know. So some people say that, you know, shortwave is almost like a dying art or something, you know.
Well, I think they'll eventually go back to it when they discover bandwidth cost.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4543. What's going on in your life that's really good? What makes you happy? What's happened in your community lately that's, you know, really good, that you're feeling good about? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir. What makes me feel good is getting up early and going to the beach and running my mile before all the crowds get there.
Where do you live?
I live in Connecticut, but I go down to the Sound.
Uh-huh.
Long Island Sound.
Yeah.
Or I go to Cape Cod or Rhode Island beaches.
Well, Cape Cod, is it still as beautiful as it used to be?
Yes, it is, especially if you get up to Orleans. And Orleans, the Provincetown, is really still very quiet, very beautiful, not built up.
Well, great. I would have figured that over the years with all the publicity it's had and the movies that have been made in that setting that developers would have moved in and bought all the property and it'd be like New York City by now. I'm glad to hear that it still has that incredible beauty. There are some beautiful places in this world, and I think Cape Cod is one of those.
Hyannis is crowded, Yarmouth, Dennis, But once you get like Chatham, which is mid-tape, to like Provincetown, which is point, it gets really still pristine.
Wonderful.
I was just wondering if I could possibly ask you a question.
Well, if it's got to do with good stuff, yeah. If it's got to do with anything else, no.
It's not good. It's about...
Well, then don't even do it.
Okay. Okay.
Okay? That's not our topic tonight.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Have a good evening. Thank you.
520-333-4543 is the number. We're talking about good things tonight. Don't bring up anything else. I want to have just a good feeling, good evening tonight, because we don't have too many of those. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Beta. Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
John from Worcester, Massachusetts.
Hi, John.
Hey, I love the Cape, too. My parents live in Brewster. And, my brother had moved out to California because he thought, oh, he'd be a beach bum out there. But, you know, he likes the beaches on the Cape better.
Yeah, I knew he would. I've lived in California. Now, there's some California beaches that are just breathtaking. But they're like along stretches of the coast where it's really wilderness. And it's pretty hard to live there. And it's against the law to live on the beach in California. Anyway, you'll be arrested and thrown in jail if you try it.
Mm. Yeah. He was impressed, you know, with the Big Sur. He liked it up there.
Yeah, that's one of the beautiful places.
Mm.
And if you want to see that, there was a movie starring, I think, Elizabeth Taylor and her husband, what was his name? Never mind. But Elizabeth Taylor is called The Sandpiper. If you want to see what the Big Sur looks like, go rent that movie, The Sandpiper. You'll see it's beautiful, really beautiful.
All right. Yeah. Hey, that was a neat thing about the guy with setting up a museum of the ship.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
Real?
Yeah.
Really? Well, I'm doing a little bit of a museum myself.
What are you doing? What are you working on?
Shopping bags.
There's
a guy on the internet who does, what do you call it, the air sickness bags.
Yeah.
But I do shopping bags in general. Got about 3,000 of them, not that much.
Do you have a place where they're on display so people can come in and look at your shopping bags?
Well, I don't have bricks and mortar yet. I had them in my apartment, and after the local columnist wrote me up, and he said, geez, he's got them everywhere. This place is a fire hazard. Well, the landlord practically died, but he's is a very open-minded type of guy, and
What prompted you to start collecting shopping bags?
Well,
don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with it that makes you happy.
Sure.
Whatever
sure
makes you
know,
happy is good. But I was curious about what got you started on that.
Well, I've always been a collector all my life. Collected everything. But here's something that doesn't cost a fortune, for one, and for another, nobody else is doing it. I mean, you can do stamps, coins, trading cards, but 50,000 other people got the same thing, and 50,000 other people have, you know, more money, more resources to have better than what you can do. But here's something that, you know, I figure it can be an original contribution to, you know, society, you know, edify.
Well, I'm sure someday maybe there will be a shopping bag collecting society. I mean, people collect the craziest things. And, you know, it makes them happy, and they just enjoy doing it. It gives them something to do in their spare time, and you know, I'm all for people being happy.
And so what prompted me to make it a museum is, you know, one good place to get them is trade shows. It doesn't matter if it's an engineering show, a biomedical show, or whatever. I crash them all. And so you got to put down something to get in, so I do. You know, I'm the curator of the American Museum Shopping Bag Art.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, that's interesting.
Oh.
And I have seen some beautiful shopping bags. I've also seen the regular manila paper, brown paper shopping bag that, you know, doesn't have anything on it. But I have seen some beautiful shopping bags.
Well, the old ones are collectible, too, because, you know, the old family stores that have been done away with from the... from the mauling of America.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the Walmarting of America.
The Walmarting of America. Yeah, but I'm, you know, so I don't have a building and $1 million grant, but that doesn't stop me from doing a display this fall at the local university. I'm putting on a display down there with the international, you know, I'm just going to go into these places and whatever theme they want.
Uh-huh.
It's just a matter of having enough material to do a thematic display.
Yeah.
Of whatever they want. So I'm doing bringing all my foreign bags in, like 200 or 300 different from 23 countries.
Wow. Well, that's interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
520-333-4543 is the number. Collect shopping bags. I collected stamps when I was a boy and enjoyed that quite a bit. In fact, I collected about everything. Snakes, bugs, stamps, rocks. my daughter had quite a rock collection. She really liked that. She would go out in a place where you'd never dream you could find beautiful rocks, and she'd come back with a handful every time. 520-333-4543. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello. Goodbye. 520-333-4543 is the number. Phones are open. We're talking about good things tonight. What's happened in your community that makes you feel good? What makes you feel good when you're alone? What do you do to make yourself happy? You know, are you in love with your job? Do you collect something? Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. It's Lee from Texas.
Turn your radio off, Lee from Texas, or I'll turn you off.
My God, it's not far enough in the background.
It never is. For all of you listening, it never is. Always turn it off. Go ahead.
I just found something today, and it takes me to the next level, I guess. I always knew about biodiesel, and...
I don't know about biodiesel. What are you talking about?
Running diesel engines on vegetable oil or organic stuff, either, oil seed.
Grease?
But basically...
Are you on a cell phone or something?
I'm on digital cell.
Is your radio still on?
Not at all.
Okay. Oh, you're on a digital cell phone. Is that
uh-huh.
what you... Okay, go ahead.
And basically the cheap way, as opposed to the way cities or fleets of buses would do it to buy it, is to use used vegetable oil from, you know, burger joints.
I just read an article recently where somebody converted an engine in a van to run on grease from grease traps in restaurants, and they traveled all across the United States, and they didn't spend one penny for fuel. In every town, or whenever they needed to, they would stop at the local restaurants and offer to clean out their grease trap for free. Now, if you know what a grease trap is, there's nobody who would refuse that offer. So they had plenty of fuel. They never had to spend one penny for fuel, and they drove all across the United States.
Absolutely. I'm looking at that article now. There's, but the next generation of the conversion part, the next level for me is to realize that that's not big-time chemistry and that all I need to do is find an old used dishwasher and use that for the tank to do the chemical conversion and go for it.
So
those two are wild.
Is this your hobby?
No. I mean, it's something that's been in my mind, but...
Yeah, but it makes you happy to do this.
To beat the system, absolutely.
Yeah, well, that might make a lot of people, especially with gas prices the way they are now. Even diesel fuel is expensive now.
Uh-huh. Anyway, that was my story for the day.
Okay.
See ya.
Thanks a lot. 520-333-4544. That makes him happy, you know, beating the system. Well, he's not actually beating the system because the system doesn't force anybody to buy gas, but he certainly is beating the price of gas. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, hello, Bill.
Hi.
Yeah, you're like kind of quick draw McGraw, man. I didn't even have time to turn my radio down just a moment ago. I didn't realize that you were taking calls that quickly.
Well, it depends on when you call. You just happen to be the next up.
Yeah, this is Paul in St. Louis. I want to tell you my happiness story for the day.
Okay.
I got my first tomato out of my garden today.
No, that always makes me happy.
That's a good thing right there.
Yeah.
That's definitely a good thing. Actually, there are several different things that made me happy today. The one thing that makes me happiest of all, though, is to hear you so congenial on the air. I don't think I've ever heard you so congenial, and actually, you know something? You sound like a pretty decent guy. I've called you before, and usually real quick on the trigger, and doggone it, rascal, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate it.
Well, great.
You know, that's the main thing. I got my sunflowers. I got my first sunflower the day before last.
For all of you listening, what you hear on the radio broadcast is not in any way the way that I am in my normal life, period.
Well, it gets deceiving, though.
It's not deceiving at all. Neither is Rush Limbaugh. Neither is G. Gordon Liddy. Neither is Ollie North. Neither is, what's his name, that liberal guy. I forgot his name, and I was a guest on his show I don't know how many times. But, Tom Likas. Nobody is in their real life like they are on the radio. And if you believe that they are, you're in for a big disappointment if you ever meet them. Larry King is not in person like he is on the radio.
Yes, this is understandable. I guess nobody really is. I know we were having great fun last night on HF. Just playing around, cutting up in the wee hours in the morning. And actually, we really weren't, as we are in person.
Well, I take that back. I think Alan Weiner really is in real life like he is on the radio.
Alan is extremely passive, and I like Alan.
Yeah, I like Alan, too. We've been friends for years. In fact, he helped me get started in radio. Him and Scott Becker and Johnny Lightning, the three of those. If it hadn't been for the three of those, I never would have had a radio broadcast, period.
Yeah, I like Johnny also. I call him periodically, at his home, off the air, and just shoot the breeze with him. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
They're all good people, man, and if you think of what... What Alan and the whole bunch of everybody's been through over the years to establish something that's just, it's growing and it's flourishing, in shortwave, I think it's a fantastic thing. That's something that makes my evening. I put new light bulbs in my Helicopter SX-96 and it looks really pretty. That's something else that happened good to me today.
All right.
So you made a comment earlier, Bill, about if you don't have something that made you happy... And it doesn't even have to be a big thing. You never did clarify that.
No, it doesn't have to be a big thing. Just whatever makes you happy. It could be.
Small light bulb.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
To make you happy, to make your day. All right, well, you have a good evening, and doggone it, I'll get out of here. I've been trying to get a hold of you forever, and give someone else a chance.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for being so congenial, Bill.
Well, if you knew me in real life, you'd know that I usually am. One of the things that makes me the happy, I love when it rains. And it's kind of cool, not cold, but cool, not even warm, but cool. I love to read a book and be able to just lean back after I've read something that's thought-provoking and sort of think it through and listen to the rain hit the roof. That's one of the most favorite things that I can do in this entire world. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
This is Jerry from Ellsworth, Michigan.
Hi, Jerry.
How are you tonight?
Good.
Real good program tonight.
Thank you.
One of the things that make me happy is talking to my family. Just had a long call from Ann and Paul.
Uh-huh.
You know them.
Yes, I do.
And things are going pretty good their way.
Yeah.
So that's what makes me happy is being in touch with family.
Well, I wish I could be in touch with that family, too. I miss them terribly. They were regular attendees almost every conference that we had. I think they missed the last one that we had.
Yes. But I got a radio now, so I'm picking you up loud and clear here on the Grundig 800 Millennium.
Great.
So we're getting you loud and clear. So that makes me kind of happy, too, to hear how things really are.
Wonderful.
So we really appreciate everything you're doing.
Well, thank you.
And thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. And give them my love if they're not listening. I think they probably are. They usually are. I guess that's about it, folks. I mean, we're out of time, and I'm just trying to figure out what I want to play here to shuffle off, to Buffalo. I don't know where that came from. I picked it up from listening to show business people. But, at the end of their act, they always talk about shuffling off to Buffalo, and that used to be something that you would hear in the old vaudeville stuff. And I got to attend one of the last vaudeville theaters in the country There was one in San Diego while I was in the Navy, and it was a real vaudeville theater. It wasn't, they had some wonderful vaudeville stuff there, and I enjoyed it. I think we're gonna do this one. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie, Pooh, and Allison. I love you.
Bottle, 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 bottle.